here we go. Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. What?
It's a podcast, guys.
Do you remember what those are? It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
More than a minute, actually.
It's been a couple months. I'm Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
That's me. Hello.
And then, hello, Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, that's me.
Yeah, we're brothers, we're geeks, and we talk about geeky things. Episode 99, almost to 100, boys, almost to 100.
This is almost a milestone.
Saturday, December 15th is when we're recording this, just in case I don't post for a month. Ha!
One short of a milestone.
Yeah, one short of a milestone. One. Nice round number of 100 is coming at you pretty quick.
Well,
it'll
you
be
know,
a special episode. We're gonna.
You know what's funny? You know, here's some geeky things for you. It'll actually be our 100th episode because we recorded a zero episode. You know, everybody starts on one. So we actually recorded a zero. So it will be our 100th episode. It will be.
But it will be the only the 99th episode that people can actually listen to because of the mythical 54th episode.
54th episode. Yes.
Lost
the
forever.
The greatest episode ever.
Seriously.
The greatest episode.
It was our Citizen Kane. It was our Godfather Part 2.
And Patrick lost it.
Yeah. Oh, why are we throwing me under the bus for that one, Christopher?
You're the host.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Keeper of the technology.
The keeper of the data.
Data.
This one is our 99th that we recorded.
Yeah.
And the special milestone episode will be the 100th episode that we've recorded.
Why didn't they ever call him Data? They always called him Data.
They addressed that in an episode.
Really? Oh,
Dr.
I don't
Pulaski
remember that.
He called him Data.
Oh, that's right.
He said to her, "One is my name, the other is not."
You're
an android. Would you have a sense of self? You know, and that's how they.
I freaking hate Pulaski. She was terrible.
She was an annoying character.
She was annoying.
Not
to say that I like Dr. Crusher. All the Dr. Crusher episodes are horrible. Like Sub Rosa, ugh, awful.
I don't know about all of them.
The ghost candle episode where
ghost,
she has
that's Sub Rosa. That's horrible.
it's such a terrible episode.
Ghost candle. Ghost candle. Alien. In like weird Scotland. Like alien world Scotland.
The shrinking bubble of universe.
That one's pretty cool.
See, here's the thing, though. That is a classic throwback episode that is in the best of the Star Trek tradition. Where, you know, the original series, they went to 60s Chicago, or not 60s, 20s
Chicago,
gangster era Chicago. It's hilarious stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
In that classic tradition.
Why does this always come back to Star Trek with this show? Because it's just in us.
It's fucking awesome.
It's true.
It is part of us.
I
watched the last half of Galaxy Quest last night.
Oh, my God. That movie is so funny.
That's the best Star Trek movie.
It is endlessly entertaining.
Oh, my God. It's been so long. Is that on Netflix? I gotta watch that.
It is so good.
It's been too long since I've watched Galaxy Quest, for sure. It's been a minute.
Of a rewatch.
Very deserving of a rewatch. So a couple of things dropped a couple weeks ago that we should talk about. Marvel, big Marvel news.
Including Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That was dark.
Too soon. Oh,
that was dark. But it worked.
In a dark mood.
He is in a dark mood. Wow. Stan Lee, 95 Stan years Lee old. Did. You know,
he had a great life.
He had a great long life.
We all die.
Yeah, we do.
And he had a great life.
He, he influenced us a lot.
Exploited by people around him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another topic. Marvel and him kind of had like a weird relationship there for a while. Like 10 years ago, they were like he was like suing them over stuff. There was
a little more than 10 years ago because the movies.
Oh, was it?
Movies started coming out 10 years ago. He was that was like 15 or 20
when the first
kind of wave of Spider-Man movies came out with Tobey Maguire,
and they were making tons of money.
They
made
tons of money.
Yeah,
and Stan Lee wasn't seeing a dime
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because I mean, I don't know about the legality all of it, but he really didn't seem to own any of the characters he created.
Well, Marvel's kind of, they're messed up. They take stuff from creators all the time and then don't.
Yeah, in the 60s, mm-hmm. he didn't technically own any of the characters
he
created.
Right.
So he wasn't legally entitled to things, but I guess it all worked out that he ended up. You know, he was named like Chairman Emeritus or something for a while.
And... Well, part of his settlement was his appearance in every film.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was part of the settlement.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
That's pretty cool.
Well, have they already recorded his stuff for?
Part of his settlement was he gets an executive producer credit on every film and a cameo.
Wow, well, that's cool.
Is he in Captain Marvel and in? Avengers Endgame, have they already recorded his stuff? Are they going to pull a Carrie Fisher and make him all digital, you know?
You know, I don't know.
Is he digital? Are they going to put him in the rest of the movies? I mean...
That's a good question. I don't know. I think he may have...
What's their plan there?
You know, we all want to sort of have a life and then everyone's going to die, and so you want to think that your life had an impact.
Yeah.
And talk about a life... having an impact, especially this window of, I mean, well, really since the 60s.
Well, like, I mean,
comics being published regularly. So
Spider-Man, yeah. The Hulk, Fantastic Four, X-Men.
Like
all these big, was he wasn't responsible for Iron Man or Captain America, I don't think. I think those were his time. But
definitely, yeah, no, they were before him.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, all the
Black
Silver
Panther.
Age Black heroes Panther? Of the 60s. Yeah, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Silver Age heroes of the 60s.
Was all Stan Lee. Yeah, I love the X-Men. I remember watching the Iron Man cartoon when I was a kid. It was short-lived.
I think that up.
And he would have a segment at the end of every episode where he would, like, talk about what happened to Iron Man in that episode and, like, the moral, like, implications. And then at the end, he would say, Excelsior! You know? And I remember that when I was a kid, and I loved it. I just love Stan Lee, like, being there. And I don't know. He's definitely been a big part of my life.
He had this great, like, announcer's voice, like, naturally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, he had that kind of, like, great... baritone he had that iconic mustache and he was tall and you know he was animated, so it was a lot of fun to watch him do his little cameos, and then he always had that sign-off line that was cheesy but still awesome.
No, he's so cheesy, but he just like steered into it. It's great.
Did you see him at a con ever?
So I was just gonna tell this story. The first year I went to San Diego Comic-Con, this was like years ago. This is probably 2003. I was standing in line outside waiting to get in back when I was just buying a day pass. It was the first year I went. Standing out line, I'm in line for hours by myself, and here comes Stan Lee walking down the boardwalk with like a handler, and he's just like looking at the line and saying hi to people, and he walks by and he goes, everybody doing okay, waiting long, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I forget what exactly he said, but I was just like, oh my god, Stan Lee's just like, what? I was like, I'm not even in there yet, and Stan Lee just walks by and he's, you know, chatting people up and talking. It was very crazy. It was cool. So that was like the one time that I was like within 5 feet of him. Sure.
I think in all the Comic Cons we went to, I think there was only like two panels with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was rare that I went to a Stan Lee panel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe two.
He always had like a couple of panels. He loved to talk and
answer
questions and.
Well, who knows if there was a time in his life.
The panels we all went to were typically what's current, what's...
He hasn't been an active writer
for
decades. Yeah, no, I mean, I've been to Kirkman panels, I've been to Jim Lee panels, you know, guys who are currently working in comics. I always kind of went to those when I went to Comic-Con. But Stan Lee hasn't been an active writer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so the panels that he... was at would would be like a spotlight on, or some kind of retrospective thing. And I didn't go to many of those in San Diego, especially. So
yeah. But I mean, think about popular culture today and the characters that he created. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, it's not an overstatement to say that he has invented much of the popular culture that we consume these days.
No question.
Yeah, for sure. He lived to be 95 years old.
Yeah, it's a good long life.
That's an exceptional
life.
Absolutely. So, Stanley missed, and we hope that we'll see at least a couple more of his fun cameos for sure.
That'd be great.
I mean, they gotta include him somehow in the rest of these movies too. I mean.
You should get an executive producer credit
forever,
posthumously.
Forever,
My
guess is they will do that. I don't think he'll let people will really notice, and the outcry would be huge if they dropped his name.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. I'm sure there will be a something for Stan or something at the end of Endgame or something. You know, something along those lines. But yeah, Captain Marvel. Second trailer drop for that. A little more footage. We definitely see like Nick Fury more, young Nick Fury.
We definitely see Carol and her using her powers a lot more.
Oh yeah. Her just lighting fools up.
The special effects are nearly done.
Yeah. They are all. Yeah. When they released the first trailer, they probably didn't have any of that done. So
yeah.
Now they do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure, flying through space and blasting fools with the energy. You know,
it's her Kree. Mm-hmm. You know, energy powers and just looking badass and
sure. Yeah. All those things. It looks pretty good. I'm excited about it. I don't understand at the end of the trailer, Nick Fury petting the cat, and like. Them spending a couple seconds on that?
Cat is fan service, dude.
Why?
Carol has had a cat named Goose in the comics for years.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay. Okay.
And it's not really a cat.
Oh, it's not?
No. Nope.
It's like a creature of some kind.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh, don't spoil it. Okay. Is it like a shapeshifter? Animal?
I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
Just leave it alone, Patrick. All right. The movie comes out in March.
All right, fine.
Which is not that far away.
But that's why it's fan service, dude, because it's a key element of her character in the comics.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a companion that she has. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's interaction with Guardians of the Galaxy, especially the Rocket and some crazy shit. And so... The hope is that there will be some of that, maybe not in this movie, but subsequent ones, because the comics have a fun reveal that involves Rocket and the cat.
Huh.
There's
a lot more like what's her name, like voiceover. Is it Annette Bening? Is that what her name is?
Yeah, that's the actress who plays.
Yeah. She's like in charge of the Kree. You know,
her
she's
Kree.
Yeah, overseer.
No, there's a training. There'll be a training montage and shit like that.
Of course. I like the idea. I mean, they're definitely doing the well-worn, effective, thing that Marvel has perfected. It seems like the origin story movie. Mm-hmm. You know, the hero origin story movie, but. It appears, at the very least, that it's going to be told through some kind of flashbacks, maybe, or time jumps, or remembering of memories that have been suppressed.
I strongly suspect that that's going to be the vehicle, right? We're going to be thrown into her kicking ass in space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's going to be some event that triggers, I'm starting to remember, something connected to Earth will trigger some memories, because I'm guessing that the movie will begin with her team in space as an alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's
and
part
then
Kree.
There'll be some kind of interaction that triggers memories, and we get a flashback for her flying a jet.
Yeah,
on
I mean the Kree are all green dudes, right? Like they're all green skinned.
That's
like why
Skrulls, dude?
Skrulls.
No.
Skrulls
no.
Are the Kree's are humanoid.
Krees are all humanoid looking?
Yeah.
But they're green humanoid.
Krees are human-esque.
It's not Nebula.
Skrulls are the shapeshifter.
No. It's not Nebula. It's a Gamora. Gamora's Kree, isn't she?
I don't think so.
No, she's not.
What is Gamora?
Okay. I don't know.
I gotta look that up.
Kree,
hold on.
The Skrulls are alien looking. Kree are more human looking.
Yep.
The Skrulls are lizard people.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
That's why she punches Grandma in the face on the train. Because Grandma is a Skrull in disguise.
Yes.
That moment from the original teaser when everybody's like, she punches Grandma, dude.
Oh my God, why?
Grandma's a Skrull. She's an infiltrator.
Why did they have to, like... I'm kind of mad they went back to that.
Punching Grandma?
Yeah. Like they needed to, like, explain it more and show that it wasn't, like...
It makes this trailer more of a sequel to the first trailer.
Right.
So I kind of like that in terms of, you know, their revealing.
Gamora is...
They're iterating.
Zeoberry?
Yeah, you're making that up. That's a made-up thing. Yeah. There's no such...
Zenhuberry.
Zenubari?
Are you having a stroke?
Seriously. Yep, having a stroke. Okay. Anyways.
Did you say you're going to be hungover today?
I definitely am.
You had your trinkets rap party, didn't you, last night?
Trinkets rap party.
Social media posts.
Yes, yes.
What was the rap party for?
Trinkets, the Netflix show I'm working on. We still have 4 more days of shooting, but they wanted to do the rap party while the actors are still in town, which was a good idea because they actually showed up. But, yeah.
Are you friends with Brianna Hildegard yet, or Hildebrand?
I mean, we're on friendly terms. Yeah, I feel like I'm more friendly with the other actresses on the show. But yeah, she's kind of a quiet person, and that's not uncommon for actors. I feel like they sometimes can be shy.
Patrick, I had a moment that you sprung into my consciousness this week. I was reading it's the end of the year. It's the people are doing their best of lists or lists of things you may have missed. And on Slate, there was an article about movies you missed this year but probably shouldn't have or whatever title those articles are. And the writer put Lean on Pete on that list.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I'm like, hey, my brother worked on that movie.
I sure did.
I still need to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a pretty good movie. It's very slow and deliberate.
Is it available on various services?
I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think so. Yeah. I'm not 100% on that, but it's on Prime. And you can watch Leave No Trace on Prime for sure. That's Prime streaming. But yeah, those two I worked on. And those two are probably the thing that I'm most proud of that I've worked on. So,
nice.
Yeah. Those are two pretty good movies.
Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. And then a few days later after the Captain Marvel trailer dropped, we get our first Avengers 4 Endgame trailer.
Yeah.
Big.
And I mean, they released the name. They didn't even like say the name until this trailer came out. So
yep.
Endgame, you know, in reference to what Doctor Strange says in Infinity War, where he says, you know, we're in the end game now. And
it's a reference that goes all the way back to Age of Ultron, dude.
No kidding.
Tony talks about how he's given his speech about, do you guys remember the portal over Manhattan? I flew a bomb through it, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we can bust drug dealers and arms dealers all the live long day, but that up there, that's the end game.
Oh, crap.
He says that line in Age of Ultron.
That's crazy awesome. So, I mean,
it's almost as if they have a plan.
Almost.
So we start
Who would have thought?
This is a very initial trailer, and they give you, I feel like everything we're seeing is probably the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like, Tony's in space. You know, Cap and the gang are on Earth, and they look all like sad because everybody died.
Because,
yeah,
you know, everybody smoked.
Yeah, we see Ronan, who is Hawkeye, who looks all dark and broody and murdering.
I think Clint has turned a corner because his entire family was wiped out.
Oh yeah, Thanos. that's the internet theory.
Ultra dark and violent.
Yeah. Well, the world is probably in chaos. Half the population is gone. Like that would jack up the world.
Dude, think about what we know just watching fiction about something like The Leftovers. How chaotic the world. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the uncertainty. 2%. They're never going to go that deep, but
2%.
Yeah,
this was 50%. Holy crap!
Yeah.
So, and
they can
that's
make an entire series of movies about just that—the world reeling from it.
It's called The Leftovers.
Yeah, exactly. And it was tremendous.
Tremendous
People
show.
Watch the entire series of The Leftovers.
Please watch it.
Put yourself. It is that good.
Genius TV.
Yep.
So I mean, what? This is April 26th is supposed to come out, and Captain Marvel comes out, what, in, what's that?
March 8th.
March, okay. So, I mean, couple of movies in a row here.
We should talk Aquaman, too.
Oh yeah.
That comes out in, is getting fantastic reviews.
It comes out in a couple weeks.
Just make it look fun.
So I want to say it out loud, and I don't want you guys to wait, but like, should I see it up here without you? Or should I wait till I'm at home and we all could see it together? Just saying.
The question, there's a logistical question.
I am willing to wait to watch it with my brothers.
Okay. I'm willing too. So, I mean, it'll be 2 days.
Will you have time, Christopher, over the Christmas holiday?
We'll make time.
We'll make time.
Because I'll be there on the 23rd.
Let's go while Chris is here.
I'll be there on the 23rd.
When you arrive, what time do you arrive on the
23rd? I have to look at my email again. I think I'm. Mom usually gets me like a morning flight, so.
Okay. Yeah, he usually lands by like noon.
Yeah. So I'm Sunday, probably around noon. I would imagine, but we could see it then if you guys are in town or if you're. I don't know when your logistic plans.
We won't be up on the 23rd. No.
Okay. But we can figure it out. But I'll wait.
You're there.
I'll wait.
You're in Phoenix all week, right?
I'm in Phoenix all week, and you know, and
we're coming up Thursday evening.
Honestly, after like the Christmas, we're just going to be getting. You know, my only obligations are going to be helping mom and dad get ready for their 50th, and like hanging out with the family that's flying in.
We'll be able to carve out.
Totally,
going to see it. I'm sure that there will be others who are interested too. So we'll figure it out.
And we always like to see a movie on Christmas Day, so that could just be our Christmas Day movie. So I'm totally cool. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm totally cool with that. But yeah. Well, yeah. Aquaman looks great. I love Jason Momoa on Instagram. He's really funny. And
did you guys see they've been doing rolling premieres in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
He and other members of his family, and I think other people of Polynesian descent that are involved in the movie did the Maori war dance, the haka.
I saw that.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. It's so fun.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah, Momoa's an interesting person. He's kind of, like, I was kind of worried about his career there for a minute because I loved him in, I mean, he's famous. He started with Stargate Atlantis, right? Christopher, you watched all that.
Yep.
Yeah, and then
he was on. And he was on a spinoff for Baywatch.
That's right.
He was like 17.
Yeah,
bro.
They were super young.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought about this last night. I was watching the 90s on Netflix last night.
Oh, yeah.
A documentary produced by CNN announced on Netflix. And I was watching the episodes about 90s television. Mm. And they didn't mention Baywatch directly. I mean, Baywatch was the most watched show in the world for a while in the 1990s.
And
it got me thinking about there was the main Baywatch, and then there was two Baywatch spinoffs.
There was.
Baywatch
Nights. Yeah.
Where Hasselhoff was like a detective.
Oh my God, I remember that.
It was terrible.
I never watched that.
And then there was a Baywatch like Hawaii or Baywatch Aloha or something.
Yeah, right.
But they tried to make it work as like a Hawaiian lifeguard
show.
And Momoa was on Baywatch Hawaii for however many episodes that lasted.
Baywatch was so bad. Holy crap.
He's from Hawaii because he's Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember Baywatch Hawaii. Oh my God. I remember watching that as a kid. It's just like it's so weird. anyways.
How many different ways can you save people from drowning?
Seriously. Seriously.
As many episodes as there were, dude.
There were so many seasons.
Like 12 years.
Yeah. Yep. There were so many seasons. And, like, that's, I mean, Pamela Anderson made a career
how
from that.
How many things can you knock your head against in order for you to start drowning?
Yeah. Seriously.
Carmen Electra was on Baywatch. Oh, my God.
Surfboard.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, hit your head on all the, like, everybody falling
water.
Off a boat. Yeah. Just,
water. You
know.
You fell on the water and you're drowning.
Oh, my God.
The water.
Yeah.
You get drunk and you go walk into the ocean, you start to drown.
Totally.
Walk into the ocean and start to drown.
Well, and for a while there, they were, like, investigating, like, crimes.
That's
like, they
why
had,
the
like,
movie
a...
is hilarious, because that's the whole point of that movie.
Yeah.
Is the send-up of this idiotic... Every episode was they're lifeguards, but they have to solve some stupid crime.
Yeah,
right.
Some beach crime. Some weird something that the beach police aren't paying attention to.
Oh my god!
Jeez.
So terrible. But it had really attractive people in it. So.
It sure did. Running in slow motion.
Running in slow motion.
So much filler, dude.
So
much slow motion.
Bouncing boobs.
Oh my god. Lots of them. I love, like when friends made fun of that. They're like, they like Joey
and
Chandler.
That's the reference that was made in this documentary.
Yeah, Joey and Chandler loving Baywatch. Oh my god! Like another show is talking about your show. Like
exactly.
That's how much Baywatch is crazy.
You crushed it. Yeah.
So Endgame stuff, Stanley. Okay, let's talk about some stuff we're watching and stuff we're
Aquaman
reading.
Is the next week. Is that right?
Aquaman
the 21st.
Before we go, I mean the movie that drops the same day as Aquaman or a day before maybe is Bumblebee.
Oh yeah,
yeah
that's
no,
getting
no, no,
good
no.
reviews
before we get
too.
To that one
yeah.
movie that I absolutely have to see and I'm going to see. I'm maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Is I got to see that. Animated Spider-Man, dude.
Oh yeah,
have
yeah.
You read about
how, dude,
I mean,
it's supposed
the,
to be really
universal
good.
Universal acclaim for this movie.
Yeah,
it's the best Spider-Man movie ever.
Anything with Spider Gwen in it, I am down with, dude. I love that character.
Little cross promotion. I mean, Haley Steinfeld, she's in the Bumblebee movie, and she voices Spider Gwen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it? And so she's basically promoting both movies right now.
Fantastic.
And Bumblebee is getting great reviews. Like,
yep.
uh-huh. like it's a that. Solid uh-huh. like coming of age adventure movie.
I saw. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and it I'm looks like about it. It looks like the Transformers movie that I wanted. Like, and then when it wasn't all Michael Bay'd up, you know. I don't think I like any of the Transformers movies. There's like moments in each of them that are like kind of cool.
One. The first one is so novel.
Exactly.
And robot ninjistic.
But I despise both Shia LaBeouf and what's her face? Like
Megan Fox.
Yeah. They are both awful in that movie. And everything with
that first one is the only one that's the least awful. I mean, that's the one that's the least awful of all.
Oh yeah, it's the least awful. Yes.
Michael Bay's trash.
Those action scenes with actual Transformers, that was as stunningly real as anything I've ever seen. I mean, I remember watching that thinking, holy shit,
this
looks like there's a Transformer standing next to these people.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah, it looked really good. It looked really good. You're not wrong.
The next point of this whole conversation is the next couple weeks, there's
a lot of good
three or four movies that we're going to want to see.
Yeah,
totally.
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
And depending on what we see between now and episode 100, we will have a lot to talk about for episode 100.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Plus, we will have Mom and Dad's 50th wedding anniversary to talk about,
woo!
Too.
Yep.
Yes. So, yeah. Let's – Andrew and I both watched the – CW-DC crossover episodes, Elseworlds.
I want to hear all about it because I'm so interested.
Chris did not watch it. I have to say, like, I mean, I haven't been keeping up with all the other shows.
Neither have I.
So I just watched the crossover, which was fine because it didn't really have a lot of, like, I feel like you don't need to.
It stood alone.
It stood alone.
It definitely did.
pretty weak though. I was kind of like the last years. I feel like the crossover episode like made me want to watch the other shows. They made me want to get caught up. And like, I don't care. Like,
color me stunned.
Yeah, this was pretty bad. What did you think, Andrew?
Give me the. I need a synopsis.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, synopsis is, Oliver Queen and Barry Allen wake up in each other's lives, and everyone around them, they've been
switched. Yeah,
switched, and everyone around them thinks that Barry Allen is actually Oliver Queen, and Oliver Queen is actually Barry Allen. So reality has been remade.
Right. They
eventually explain it.
The beginning is they've switched. Well, the beginning is
in the Flash outfit.
The beginning is like this creepy monitor guy shows up with a book and he hands it to John Deegan, who's like a Batman villain. Hands him the book and says, "Rewrite reality as you see fit."
Most importantly, when does Batwoman appear?
In the second episode.
Actually, she's at the tail end of the first episode. She's like to draw you into the second episode. But yeah, she's more.
And how heavily involved is she?
Very.
In the second episode,
that would be the only reason for me to watch.
She's not involved at all. She talks to the heroes and meets them, but she has no impact on the overall story at all. She helps them out, but like she basically is like, get the hell out of Gotham the whole time. Like, what are you doing in my city?
They're in Gotham because they track down
John Deegan. Because they figure out that he is the one who changed things. Yes, yep. And he's at Arkham Asylum. He's a doctor.
Is Batman there? No, Batman.
They even make reference to it. Mm-hmm. He's been missing.
They directly reference Batman. He's been missing for years.
Yep.
Really?
He left Gotham.
Yeah, they talk about Batman, and Oliver Queen talks about how he's the original vigilante, and Batman's just a myth. Everybody thinks Batman's a myth. And it's sort of just like, he's not real, and then when they get to Gotham, yeah, they talk about how Batman's missing and Bruce Wayne is missing. He's not present. So,
it's kind of dumb.
It's kind of dumb. Her costume looks great, but
I follow Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist on social media.
Same.
And the month or so that they shot the three crossover episodes. Mm. They were hyping it up, right?
Yes, and yes.
They convinced me to watch. I was hyped up enough that I'll be like, I don't keep up with these shows.
What they were doing worked on me too.
I don't consider it time wasted.
The third episode, the quote unquote Supergirl episode, where the focus is on Supergirl and her involvement, is pretty dumb.
Well, to be honest, like she's kind of like forgot. I mean, they bring
she's
her
on an alternate Earth too. Right?
She's on a yeah. There's a lot of convoluted hoo ha happening.
That's what makes it kind of dumb.
Yeah,
There's too much.
They have to jump through dumb hoops in order to like. Have
there's
them
so many dumb hoops.
If you really think about it, that's just comic books. Comic books are kind of stupid.
Yeah. But there's a ton of this, and some comics are really stupid.
Some comics
writers,
are great
writers. Can be stupid.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, she's on a different Earth. They have to go to her Earth because their Earth is jacked up. So they're trying to see if like she was affected too. Yeah, and it hasn't been. Only Earth One has been affected, which I think is hilarious that they call themselves Earth One. We see Superman more throughout this crossover, and Lois Lane for the first time in this crossover.
If there is a highlight of the crossover, I actually really like Tyler Hoechlin's
Superman. He's great.
Superman.
He's great good. As Superman. Yeah, he's really
fantastic. He does a really good Superman, actually.
And then they do the black suit Superman at the third episode.
Is that an Injustice reference, or what is it?
The black suit?
That's a direct Elseworlds reference.
Mm-hmm,
oh. Chris is getting a phone call.
Okay.
Sorry.
No worries.
It's okay.
So, I mean, there's a lot. I feel like there's just a lot. Like, There's a lot of nods and references, but not a lot of substance. It was just kind of like...
Oh, there's tons of Easter eggs.
Oh, tons of it. But tons. Like, they spent too much time doing that and not enough, like, making a good story.
Dude.
Yeah. Oh, no. Total fan service.
Are straight up fan service. So just make them as fun as they can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It felt a lot like that. And my favorite show has always been Legends of Tomorrow, but this year has been really kind of goofy, honestly. They're not involved in it at all. They even, in their episode, they say, hey, we missed a call from Oliver Queen and Barry Allen. And one of the guys even says, because Legends of Tomorrow, they break the fourth wall all the time, and he goes, oh, they must be doing their annual crossover again. And that's all they say in their episode, and then they move on, and then they keep going. But they're busy with all kinds of craziness, and Legends of Tomorrow's, I mean, that's the one that I like, even though it's so goofball, because they just, like, steer into it. Like, the rest of them are goofball, and they're trying to be serious. And that one is just ridiculous for a ridiculous sake. Yeah. Do you think you'll watch more, Andrew? Do you think you'll watch the other episodes, other seasons at all?
No. It didn't pull me in.
No, I don't care. I don't care at all. Yeah. You're not missing anything, Christopher.
They hinted at next year's crossover will be called Crisis on Infinite Earths.
And I'll probably watch that.
But I don't have an overwhelming desire to watch the other series. Yeah.
Just kind of, I mean, of the crossovers, I feel like the wedding one was the best. The Nazi world invasion,
super Nazis. That was ridiculous.
That was cool. That was fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah, yeah. And this one was just kind of like, yeah, it was just too convoluted and ridiculous. So
yeah, a little too dumb ridiculous rather than fun ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because there's a thin line between the two. You gotta get it right, and they didn't really get it right.
They missed a little. Also, well, you guys want to talk about Daredevil season 3? I can sit this one out because I haven't watched it. So
you haven't watched it at all? You've been too busy.
I've been too busy. I plan to. It's just I probably will. You know, I'm probably downloaded for the flight up, and I'll probably watch a couple episodes because.
Cool.
Yeah.
Christopher, in episode 98, he had just started the season, and he was not impressed.
No, it ramps up very slow.
Yeah. How was your overall feeling of the
overall season? Feeling is very positive.
Yeah, good.
It turns out the first couple episodes are, like I said, they're slow and a lot of navel-gazing and angsty angst. Mm-hmm. But damn, does it get really good. The season is really strong in terms of storytelling, great fight scenes, interesting dynamic between the characters. The stories are all plausible and interesting.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, I was like, damn, this is a really good, really good show. So yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot, actually.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Christopher said. I enjoyed. I liked the new character of the FBI agent and his struggles.
Yep.
He had an
That was really good.
His kind of, and then the introduction of Bullseye and how he gets pulled into it and his just extreme psychosis and how he white knuckles his whole life. I thought that was handled. I mean, which Bullseye is such kind of a ridiculous character, a guy who throws things with, never misses, and how they kind of build that into his skill set. I dug it. I liked how they created
and
him.
They did a good job of like making that plausible.
A plausible thing.
Yep.
Yeah. It didn't feel stupid.
Yep.
I thought he was just like a really skilled warrior. Like, is did they?
That's
they,
basically
they,
what it is. And his skills. I mean, you learned
from childhood.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was a childhood where his eye hand coordination.
I see. Okay.
Repetitive actions of eye hand coordination. That's how he kind of dealt with his stress initially. his stressors in his life that would trigger kind of, because you learn early on that he's been a very violent person from very young. And that was part of his coping mechanisms, was kind of, you know, repetitive eye-hand coordination, you know, tossing of balls and tossing of things and, you know, aiming and all of that. He, you learn how he became so proficient with the, you know, tossing objects, essentially.
Well, and,
it was
totally
believable. I mean, it was still, that storyline is totally believable he cultivated that talent.
Well, and he's totally like, I mean, he's Daredevil's like equal. He is Daredevil's like greatest physical villain, I would say. I mean, Kingpin is Daredevil's like arch nemesis, but like Bullseye is his like his match, his physical match.
The two versions of Bullseye that we've seen, the Colin Farrell Bullseye and this Bullseye, Colin Farrell, I mean, this one blows Colin Farrell's Bullseye out of the water.
Well, that movie is
so
freaking
much more
awful. Nuanced,
so much more interesting.
Yeah, that movie is
trash.
Trash. I was so apprehensive when they announced Daredevil was going to be like the Netflix flagship show.
Yeah.
And because of how god awful the movie was, and I've never really been a fan of the character from the comics. I never read the comics, except when Daredevil was involved with the Avengers.
The Ed Brubaker run of Daredevil is really good. That like a few from like 10 years ago, man.
I was
you
never
go
a regular
dude,
reader.
Wow, yeah, that either. Series when he I don't know when it starts, but the Daredevil like. Ed Brubaker, Daredevil, that he did a lot. He did and that series is freaking great. So if you want to read those, man, that's a good Daredevil book. But yeah, I mean, I was never really a fan of Daredevil either. But yeah, this show is great. Too bad canceled, you know.
But maybe we'll see, you know, the show live again on Disney's streaming service when they launch
kidding.
Late 2019.
Well, I mean,
early 2020, whenever that's supposed to
be. Everybody's kind of pissed at, you know, Netflix about canceling all these, but I feel like they're canceling because like Marvel's trying to pull out. They haven't made reference or blame Marvel for any of this, but like Marvel and Disney are doing their own thing on their own streaming service, so they're probably like,
well, they're upset, but I mean, they.
I think it's just purely financial. They don't own the shows.
They don't own the shows. Yeah, they can't
anymore.
And
it's expensive, and probably not enough people are watching them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did hear, though, this week, I mean, I've heard that commentary as well. I did hear this week somewhere, Daredevil was one of Netflix's most watched shows.
Mm.
So I think the other shows weren't as nearly watched. I mean,
yeah.
We watched them all because we're fans, but Daredevil was... you know,
dude,
a top watch
Luke
show.
Cage was really good, and Jessica Jones season 2 was kind of weak, but I really liked that show too. Like I'm kind of sad about those. Iron Fist was awful, so I mean, it kind of stinks. They haven't announced that they're canceling.
Well, we got new seasons of The Punisher and Jessica Jones coming.
Yeah,
those will be canceled following their.
Yeah,
you know,
they'll release
showings.
Them and cancel them, so that'll be great. But
yeah, no, season 3. It's worth a watch, and it ends on a nice note. It could be a series finale, in my opinion. I think where it goes. I mean, I would love to see more Daredevil, but you know, we don't always get what we want.
That's true. So, do you have any other? Did you guys see? Did we talk about Crimes of Grindelwald?
Saw it.
What'd you think?
It was a mess.
Yeah,
it's a mess. Yeah, there are definitely some good parts to it, but
yeah,
it's an incoherent mess.
There's some actually. I mean, yeah, I mean, there are some moments that are pretty fun, and I don't know. I liked it better than.
I just want a whole movie about young Dumbledore.
Seriously,
no shit.
Jude Law was great as Dumbledore.
He's the best. He's the best part by far.
Yep. Yeah. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, yeah. There's some pretty cool like magic moments that
I
have
really
fun with.
The signature beast for this one. It was basically like the Chinese dragon.
Yeah, the Chinese dragon.
Great,
like yeah, that was
a very
really
cool, very
cool.
Well realized. You know, magical beast was that dragon. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I liked that a lot. Yeah, one of the many criticisms of that movie. It was not enough It's about Fantastic Beasts. It's in the fucking name.
Yeah.
I think.
And there's only like a couple.
Not nearly enough of that.
Yeah.
It's too cluttered. You know, they're definitely building the arc over multiple films, which for good or bad, does it really stand alone as its own film? Not really.
I just really think
shit that is never referenced and like alters the universe. So.
I really just think that Johnny Depp was miscast. Like, he's just so awful.
I don't like him as Grindelwald. Yeah. I don't know who else I would do, but I don't like that casting.
No, I think he's just really bad. He's like the worst. And my hate of Eddie Redmayne is starting to wane. Like, I usually despise him, and so I kind of despise him from the first one, but I actually kind of like this better than the first one, which I was really disappointed with the first one. So, yeah. So that's, you can see how I feel about that, but
yeah.
Did you guys watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
I started it, but
oh my god,
it's ultra dark.
Wow, it's a great show.
It's freaking,
is it really?
It's ultra dark.
Are they doing like a Christmas episode too?
Uh-huh.
Yes, they are. Uh-huh.
Okay,
it is. I think it's out this weekend, actually.
Okay.
Oh wow,
it is. That show is dark as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's really good. It's really entertaining.
Well, and then that satanic cult was suing them over their
representation
of the statue or whatever. No, over the statue.
Yeah.
The statue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a really weird, off-putting show in that they just talk about the Church of Satan as the church. It's so weird. It's so weird and off-putting.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
I need to
the nature of it.
So disorienting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How they talk about. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Okay.
Gotcha.
It's worth watching.
That's a lot of watched. So let's do some. What are we reading? What's the jam?
I am on book three of the first Law trilogy by Joe Abercrombie.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through it. I'm reading slowly through it. It's really good.
Uh huh.
I've enjoyed this series very much. Kind of the quest team that formed in the second book is broken up, and now they're on their own individual plots, but they're all pretty strong. And there's been some unexpected plot developments, which is cool. But it's entertaining. The writing is pithy and, you know, witty in a lot of ways. And I enjoy, you get to fall in love with these characters and how they kind of turn the archetype of fantasy literature, they kind of turn, the archetypes that exist in fantasy, they turn it kind of on their ear and do something a little bit new. So I've liked that a lot. I will be sad when the book ends,
Is it three long? Is that it?
It is three long. It's a trilogy. Okay, so sweet. I'm halfway through it. I've got a couple hundred pages left. When I finish that, I'll find something else to read, but I've enjoyed those three books. And there's other books by Abercrombie that are like standalones that are set in the same world, and some of the same characters appear in those books. So I don't know if but they're not continuations of this particular trilogy.
Mm.
So I'll probably get invested in those as well. But I've enjoyed this trilogy so far, and I hope the third book ends very well.
Cool.
Yep.
That's awesome. Christopher, what you got? What you been reading?
I am listening to a terrific post-apocalyptic book right now called The Passage.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the TV show's coming out in a few weeks.
Yes, and I'm listening to the first book in that series, and it is tremendously entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I highly recommend reading and or listening to the book. It is evocative of The Stand. It is evocative of other sort of post-apocalyptic, but it has enough sort of new and different to set itself apart. And it is well written. Characters are great. It's really good. I'm enjoying it very much. The Passage, Justin Cronin is the guy.
Cool.
Take a listen or read. It's really.
I'll add it to my Audible list. I'm like four behind on my Audible list. So,
I purchased a couple of graphic novels of Lady Mechanica.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm reading those. That was at Tucson Comic Con.
The art is really cool in those.
The art is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I like the steampunk sort of aesthetic.
It's like horror. It's like horror steampunk
stories. The story's good, so I'm reading that.
Cool. I still haven't read Monstrous Volume 3, but hopefully I get.
I cannot find Monstrous 1 and 2.
I don't have those. I gave those back to you.
Somewhere. Yeah, I know you did.
Okay.
It's in a box.
I didn't want you to blame my ass. Okay?
I mean, you're still to blame.
I understand.
So, I would like to find those and read them before I read Volume 3.
Just as a refresher.
Volume 2.
Yeah.
But I have not been able. I've been able to find them yet. So I'm sure that they are in a box. So I need to find them and read them. So
all right.
But cool. I have Volume 3, and I will read it.
Nice.
Nice.
How was your experience at Tucson Comic Con? Did we talk about that?
No.
I don't think we did. It was great. It was. Remember when we went to Mesa Comic Con? The Mesa one. I don't know if you went. Not as big as Phoenix.
Obviously.
Few cons are. Okay, this is a sad. I was worried that it was going to be this sad small town Comic-Con experience, and it was not that at all. It had all the feel of that the Comic-Cons that we like, which is local stuff, local emphasis. You know, there was definitely cosplay, people enthusiastic, interesting art.
That's cool.
It had a game room.
Mm.
Tabletop gaming. The girls had a good time. Took Katarina and Kira. We had a good time. It was fun.
Cool. Good to hear, man.
That's awesome. So what I am reading is a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
Never read it. Yes. So
I have not actually.
Yeah, it's really interesting so far. It was recommended by a friend, and so she thought I should give it a read. And yeah, our father used to talk about this book all the time, I feel like, being like a reference to, you know, the story of the human condition and Star Wars and George Lucas, you know, read this. And yeah, it's definitely an interesting read. It's more like a philosophy book than like a narrative. So it's interesting. So I'm enjoying that so far, but that's the only thing that I've been reading.
Okay.
But
I might need to borrow that from you when you're done with it.
I will be bringing it to cool. Phoenix. So.
I have a copy too. Andrew,
oh, sweet.
So. Oh, yeah.
I may need to borrow it from one of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty interesting so far. It's good. But
universality of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
From different cultures and perspectives.
Yep. Yep. That's the overlap and. You know, how humans see, like, the hero and tale and story and, like, you know, the it's pretty great so far. So, let's talk about some games. What games are you guys playing?
Christopher just had a Forza expansion drop, didn't you, Chris? Have you been playing that?
Yes, I'm playing the shit out of Forza.
That's awesome.
That game is a ball.
Yeah.
It combines everything great about the Forza simulation side with all kinds of fun shit to do, drifting, just driving across the countryside, blowing shit up. But there's so much content and so much to do that it is it's endlessly entertaining. It's so fun. It's car collecting. It's car.
Do you have a favorite car?
Yes, I'm currently driving the Hoonigan Gymkhana 9 Mustang.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It is a like 1,100 horsepower four-wheel drive Mustang.
Okay.
It is 1960s era. I forget the exact year. Look up Hoonigan Gymkhana on the internet. Search it on YouTube, and you'll see these cars that they and then what they do with them, and that's currently my go-to drive around the countryside car. The nice. Game is beautiful. It's fun to drive. It's fun to play. And the expansion just dropped. It puts us into a new landscape, new island, mountainous island. It's set in Scotland. The core game is set in Scotland, so you drive around the Scottish countryside and in Edinburgh. And it's really fun. It's really fun. And the expansion is on an island that's off the coast. And there's treasure hunts and clues and more driving.
So you just drive around the countryside to race it? Like you go to like a place and there's a race there or something?
Those are sprinkled all over the map. So you can drive around and you're always running into something to do. Mm. There's jumps, there's drifting, there's speed zones, there's races of different types. There's dirt track, there's road races, there's cross-country races. Where you're going across hills and valleys and everything else, you're not driving on roads, and so it forces you if you really sort of embrace all of that. It forces you to drive a bunch of different styles of vehicle, which is fun because it's easy to get locked into. This is my favorite car. I'm just going to drive that. But the game really gives you the opportunity to drive a ton of different shit.
Mm.
There's a robust online community where there's tuners who will optimize the tuning for the vehicle, and you can download that and import that so that your vehicle that you want to drive for this race is optimized for the race, or you can tune it yourself, and it keeps track of all of that. It gives you achievements, and you advance in terms of experience if you tune it yourself. You also get experience and progression if you design the livery, you know, the color you paint or you put logos on it or whatever, the vehicle itself.
Sure.
You can do all of that. The customization is cool. There's a photo mode. There's weather. The core game itself, you go through progressions of seasons. And so one of the fun mechanics is each season lasts a week. Mm. And then you have various tasks that you're supposed to do during that week. And if you achieve that, you get Forza points, which you can then spend on new cars, new gear. You customize how your driver looks, stuff like that.
Mm.
It's really, really fun.
Wow.
It's really fun. So I love the driving games.
The carrot. The carrot is there. Yeah, it's not just like a driving game. Yeah. It's
so fun.
That's cool.
It's a great game. It's a great game.
That sounds...
And I'm playing... I go back and forth between that and Destiny. Destiny expansion dropped.
Yeah, how's that?
And also the Dawning is happening right now. And so the game is fun. There's lots to do in Destiny right now, too. So.
Yeah, my buddies are trying to get me to come back to Destiny, but I don't know. I don't have time to – like I'm so far behind that I wouldn't even know where to start. So, yeah. That's the problem. I think I'm like two expansions behind. So, I think I've been playing a little Fallout 76. It's kind of a mess. They are trying to fix it, and I kind of have taken a step back because it was kind of irritating. But it's just sort of, that game. I want it to be so amazing, and there's parts of it that are really cool, playing with your friends, running around Fallout, like, doing Fallout things, and the story's really cool, and the quests are really awesome, and but the game is just, is really irritating. So, it's just kind of a, they need to reassess, and they've been, like, patching and like making it worse. And so it's, yeah, they're,
that's not a good cycle, dude.
Not a good cycle. So they are, they need to fix that quickly. I think I'll come back to it when it's been, you know, like polished off a little, you know, when they fixed it a little bit, you know, cause they said they're going to work on it a bunch, but it's pretty, pretty meh from, I was pretty excited about it. And so I'm kind of disappointed with how it turned out. And, yeah, anyways, I've been playing Overwatch again, because that's just sort of like popcorn fun game, you know, pop in and play a few rounds and then, you know, go to sleep kind of a game. So, that's been what I've been playing lately. But, Andrew, you want to talk about, what you've been playing?
Oh yeah. No, I ordered, I bought the Halo Master Chief Collection.
Oh yeah.
So it's got all of the Master Chief campaigns,
mm-hmm.
Remastered for the Xbox One.
I bought that when it first came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you played through it? Some of it, Christopher, at all?
I started, the first one.
Yeah. I have as well. I haven't played the Halo 1 campaign since you and I first played it on your original Xbox.
Yeah.
Way back when we co-opted through the campaign together.
Yep.
On the deck with, you know, side-by-side controllers.
I'll never forget the first appearance of the Flood, dude.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Every time you guys talk about Halo, you talk about that moment.
It's an
iconic gaming moment for me.
It really is. For me as well. So I'm not quite to that point in the first in the first campaign, but I am through like you start on the Pillar of Autumn, you fight your way off the ship, you crash land, you try to find survivors, you find some survivors. I'm at the level where you have to, you go in on a drop ship and you're trying to infiltrate a Covenant carrier that's got like a grav lift, because Keys is on the carrier. So I'm right at that for, and that level is fun. I remember that level from my first playthrough. So yeah, it's been so much fun. Remastered for the Xbox One, it looks great.
Yep.
Playing as Master Chief again is great.
It's good stuff.
It's really has been just kind of nostalgic.
We need to co-op that. Let me know when you're going to play.
I will for sure. It's and you know, getting to know all the, you know, original kind of weapons that you can play as with the Chief, and the original kind of,
God, remember playing with that handgun, dude?
Yeah.
PvP with that handgun, that thing is badass.
Yeah, it was.
What was it called?
The Magnum.
Magnum.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We used to just play tons of matches, the three of us.
God.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, we used to play snipers.
Snipers and Blood
land
Gulch.
Parties.
Well, I mean, I used snipers. To love.
Yep.
Land
parties and Blood Gulch.
I loved. Yep. Come over and we play. Yeah, Blood Gulch, snipers.
Yep.
But
30-minute matches.
Yeah,
sit there.
Yeah,
waiting. To get each other to move.
Waiting someone. Yeah, waiting for someone to peek their head out.
So
fun. So much fun.
Turn your head into a canoe. You know, right? all those fun little things. Like,
yep.
So many good memories.
Brotherly
of
love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many good Halo memories.
So that's been a lot of fun. And there's a nice.
Well, it has all of them too, right? It has like Halo 2 and Halo 3 and like
Halo 2,
Reach.
Halo 3, ODST. Halo ODST,
right?
Which is one of my favorite campaigns of any game I've ever played.
Oh yeah, that campaign is really good. Not a great game, but that campaign is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they have Halo 4 on there as well, which I played on the Xbox One. That's a current gen title. But yeah, no, I'm excited to play through the campaigns again, because I really enjoyed the Halo universe, and like I read Halo novels and did that shit. I really got into it kind of in the, you know, kind of mid 2000s when I really enjoyed the games. I liked the campaign. I wasn't a PvP guy so much, but I liked the universe surrounding all the Halo games and how they expanded on it with kind of these really, you know, really kind of decent But you know,
what's the one that's like the origin story of the Master Chief? What book is that? Is that Ghosts of Reach? Is that what it is?
No, Fall of Reach is what.
Fall of Reach. There's like three chapters where there's like where they first encounter the Covenant and they have this crazy ship battle.
Mm-hmm.
And those chapters are freaking great.
It's actually really solid military science fiction.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's like the real space
technology,
space,
real
like,
believable tactics.
Right, yep. Yeah. Space like battle, and the humans are just getting rocked, and they are, and like how the captain of the human ship like figures out how to defeat them is unbelievable. That I remember reading that, and I was like, this is incredible, and yeah. Yeah, Fall of Reach is a good book.
So I am enjoying. I've just kind of scratched the surface. I hope to play through all of the campaigns because I remember enjoying all three of the Halo campaigns.
It's a worthy endeavor.
100%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been digging on that. So.
Well, when I'm in Phoenix, we should get down on that. You like little split screen action. As long as you guys don't screen cheat on me at all. You know,
no,
it's fine.
Screen cheating.
No screen cheating.
Good memories, though, for sure.
Good memories.
So it's been a lot of good nostalgia.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Land parties were so fun.
Yeah.
Bring your whole rig over
I remember bringing my television, my big tube television to your house, Christopher, and like hooking up my old Xbox. Yep. And like hooking them all up together. Yeah. Hooking them all up together.
I bought the bridge
hook
up.
Oh my God. So fun. It'd be so much easier now with these like skinny TVs, but man. I remember that, throwing my big tube television in the back of my car, driving it over there.
Yep, same.
Oh, man, it's hilarious. Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Do you have trivia for us?
I do. Excellent. And it's truly trivial trivia. This past week, Inception has been on the rotation on HBO lately.
Okay.
So I've been and I haven't watched Inception, I don't think, in years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've seen it multiple
Inception's
times.
Inception's really good. Jesus.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
So I sat down and rewatched like the second half of the movie where they actually like start the dream, heist.
Oh yeah.
And they're going through the different level. Yeah, anyway. So this is truly trivial. And we've all seen Inception multiple times, correct, guys?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay. The song that signals that the kick is beginning. It's a 2-point question. You can get either point. Tell me the name of the song and who sings it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I know.
I'll tell you the language, which will probably give you
an idea. French. It's French. Hold on. Don't tell me a thing.
Okay. Told you it was trivial.
I know it. I know it because it's in Saving Private Ryan, and they talk about it. Fart. Fart, fart, fart. I know it. Yeah, it's going to bug me that I can't think of it right now. No, it's gone. Okay. Is it... no, you're going to say it. Say it. Unless
you have a guess or no?
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
But I cannot remember because it's
so there. It's right there. So...
I mean, you could probably hear the song in your head right now.
Yeah, totally.
Edith Piaf.
Edith Piaf.
That is the singer.
Yes. Yes,
Edith
that's
Piaf
it. No idea what the song is.
No idea the song, but Edith Piaf. Yes, that's who they're
well
talking
done,
about.
Well done, Saving Private. Yeah.
I only know that because of Saving Private Ryan
right,
reference.
Right.
I do not.
Yeah, they talk. They
I
say
do
that.
Not remember the Inception.
Don't get credit for this question. Excellent.
Yeah. Yes.
Edith Piaf is the singer.
Uh huh.
So well done on that. The French title, and I don't speak or read French, so this is terrible. It's Non Je Ne Regrette Rien.
Uh-huh,
maybe.
Uh huh. Sure.
Translates into English as no regrets.
So
I probably butchered that in French.
Yes, we're sorry to all our French listeners.
Do Google Translate.
But
No Regrets by Edith Piaf is the kick song
from
Inception.
That's fun. That was like a couple
good.
Of movie connections, too. So,
question.
Yeah, that's good. That wasn't trivial at all. If you want to...
Yep.
If you want to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. And you should email the show, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. All the things, brothersgeek.com, brothers_geek on Twitter, and brothersgeekpodcast on Facebook.
Yes.
Join us for episode 100. It'll be a special holiday edition. It's a milestone, and it'll be live. We'll all be in the same place.
Yes. We will. Yes.
And we will. Always be curious.